Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my works, my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is, Ashe. Today is Tuesday, November 19th, 2013. You are now tuned in to part two of the bastardization of African-American spirituality and religion. Here on Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to assist you. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. Yeah.
Thank you.
Divine All Blessed. On today, we want to continue with our topic, the bastardization of African American indigenous spiritual systems, sort of a part two, if you will. We began on yesterday by laying down a clear foundation for first approaching this subject matter. Language, word usage, what do these words mean? What are we specifically attempting to outline? We don't want to assume clarity. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about at length today as we continue with part two, commercialization, westernization, subjugation, indoctrination, and all those other systems, if you will, in place that not only bastardize our traditions, but continue to erode any attempt to gain footage of understanding about our systems. And there are many ways that that is done and acted out in our culture, in our society, and that is why I did not want to sort of do a one-day show about this topic, but to spend a whole week really going in depth about what I mean when I talk about the bastardization of our traditions. We started yesterday by clarifying the very existence of systems of indigenous African American origin. We often talk about mixing, borrowing, transplanting, having other religions indoctrinated upon us, but very rarely do we talk about what is unique to us and how that continues to survive and how we can further feed and propagate the survival of those very traditions. And let me be clear, I said it on yesterday. Our very survival is not only dependent upon these traditions, but is in many ways owed to these traditions. Whether you're clear about them or not, whether you've been educated about them or not, whether you're fully cognizant of them or not. And that is one of the goals I have in place for doing this show and specifically this topic and these subtopics that go along with it. Because I want to be clear that as we move forward in 2014, as we move forward in society, technology, our abundance of information is overwhelming. Most of us, indeed those of you who are listening to me now, have internet, have access to internet, understand what Google search is, what Bing is, what Wikipedia is, and generally speaking, know that information is at our fingertips. But the downside of that is our application and actualization of that knowledge, of that awareness. Aberisha and I briefly talked about this earlier this morning in a personal conversation about how easy it is for us to not use many of these tools to their fullest for our own edification. And it's still much easier for many people to ask somebody rather than to search it for yourself. I get that every single day. Questions that we've repeatedly answered, questions that continue to be re-answered, reposted on my wall rather than sent to me in a private message. And generally they are questions that are easily searchable if people are truly committed to that answer. So we're put in a position to then look at motive, to then look at agenda, to then look at forces that would otherwise deviate our energy to things that are not productive. I could spend all day, and I'm not being facetious, I could literally spend all day just answering questions that people present to me in various forms throughout our social media, social networking stratosphere. 10% of those questions are serious. I'm being frank. 10% of those questions are serious in that the person is already on a journey of learning. It's not a voyeuristic question. It's not a, to sort of paint you a scenario, I'm sort of walking through a fair and I see your booth and I'm going to ask a few questions and I'm going to keep moving on. And 5 minutes later, you know, people have no idea what the conversation was even about. And I test that, and I implore you to test that. In your personal conversations, work, friends, family, internet activities, I often will ask people to repeat what they think I said or what they think I meant by some explanation. And you might be surprised at the responses you get and the lack of attention that people really pay to the material. For various reasons, I'm not even going to make a judgment about why that is happening. We can easily come up with reasons why that's happening. Mere distraction is a very simple explanation for why that's happening. We are living and existing in an artificial society, in an artificial dimension, if you will, a plastic dimension that's ever-changing, ever in flux. Many of our requirements are artificially placed upon us when we look at energy consumption and cost, how much we pay for food, heck, how much we pay to breathe air, literally being a citizen of planet Earth right now in this very capitalistic, commercialized dimension of reality that we are surviving in. So, you know, to give the benefit of the doubt, they're very simple reasons for distraction. But at a much deeper level, when we talk about spirituality and religion, we want to take that more seriously than we would entertainment, than we would, picking up your Sunday paper and going through the ads, if you will. We would like to think that this is a type of energy, just like our nutritional energy, that's a necessity for life, a necessity for empowerment at many levels, physically, spiritually, mentally, intellectually, economically. And within our community and within our social networking circles, much of what we talk about revolves around those issues, survival, health, diet, income, just living. But our commitment to the seriousness of that and the work involved in that has to be questioned, and particularly when we look at the bastardization of our traditions. We will spend, at best, 2 years, 4 years, thousands of dollars, in some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars, to develop an education, to gain access to a piece of paper with specific phrases on it that will allow us access to economic stability in our lives, particularly in the Western world. I dare say it's a global phenomenon under capitalistic dominance. So that within itself has shifted what we consider to be priority, how we view priority. And it affects every stratosphere of our thought process, including spirituality and religion. Some of you who still go to church, based going to church around your work schedule. Some of you are required to work on Sunday, so you choose. In that moment, you choose. And I'm illustrating this for very specific reasons. Some of you already know where I'm going with this. We cannot come at indigenous philosophy, tradition, culture, thought processes, spirituality, religion, to include ATR, traditional African-based systems, with a Western mind. That is our first hurdle in making the transition. All of us, I don't care what your path is, all of us. Even in something as, I almost said simple, but something as complicated as dreading your hair. Many of you have made that decision and have made that decision involving thought process that require you to think about your income, that think about your workplace, that think about acceptance, labeling, how you're going to be treated, how you're going to be labeled within the system, if you will, pegged. Many adjectives can be used, but you follow what I'm saying. So when we start talking about religion and spirituality, we cannot look at it in the same way that we're going to decide what color we're going to wear today, what breakfast food we're going to eat today. It has to be an integral part of not only who we are, but our consistent daily, 24-hour-a-day demonstration. And right now, we talked about this briefly on yesterday, right now there's a trend, if you will, of anti-religion in our society, but particularly as we talk now about saving, maintaining, stopping the bastardization of African-American indigenous spiritual systems. And if anyone owns religion, it is us. And anti-religion, in my opinion, is really just an excuse to not give a damn about anything or anybody but yourselves. And that is really a pseudo New Age philosophical Western stance. In a group of indigenous thinking, breathing, existing persons, that would not even be a plausible philosophy. We understood and were much more deeper connected to our interconnectedness for survival. Our interconnectedness for survival. Our interconnectedness for survival at one time was basic but complex. Heating required going and gathering, chopping wood, gathering sticks, creating a fire without the usage of a lighter, an accelerant. Gathering our food required killing, required going after, required gathering, required our thinking about and putting into place actions and activities that required a great deal of our time and concentration, sometimes hours before the event, days before the event. If we look at harvesting and planting, we're talking about planting a year ahead, 2 years ahead, seasonally. And when you consider the more complicated details of, you know, how long can you keep a strain of a particular plant viable without it needing to pollinate with something new or something more rigid, then you're talking about 5-year, 10-year planning. This type of planning still exists for us, but it has been subjugated by a more artificial system where we have to look at now, for instance, you have a child. So you plan for that first 5 years, and then you plan for going to school, and then you plan for going to college, hopefully. And a great deal of your time and your energy is involved in that production, in that movement, in that activity. So we now live in a culture, in a society, where, depending on your religion or lack thereof, your beliefs or lack thereof, a great deal of your activity is governed by that, but from a outside artificial structure. Church is limited to Sunday. What is it? Jehovah Witnesses Saturday, Muslims Friday, and many of us show rather than do. And the internet fosters that sense of show rather than do. It's more important to look holy. It's more important to look conscious. It's more important to look roots than it is to be roots, to be spiritual. And to live that is a 24-hour vocation. Doesn't end, doesn't begin. It's a constant. It's a part of every single thing that we do. Once upon a time in the indigenous world, in the ancient world, no matter where you were on the globe, that was a normal, almost expected presence. Now, religion, spirituality, healing, if you will, and I'm not talking about medical healing, but self-empowered healing, it's either not thought of at all, it's relegated to a small portion of our time and our effort and our energy and our thought processes, or it's not happening at all. While at the same time we are overloaded, bombarded, particularly if you have access to the internet, with a wealth of information, good or bad, light or dark. Doesn't matter your position on the information, but just knowing that it's there. If you choose a non-position, there are people there to support that. If you choose a position, there are people there that support that. If you choose a position, there are people in place to go against you supporting that position. So support is universal in that way. You know, I once upon a time did a series of shows about the illusion of isolation, the illusion of aloneness. And this is very critical, particularly when we're talking about belief systems, religion, spirituality. Many of you are echoing, regurgitating other people's stuff. You haven't thought about it in any real, great, critical detail. Some of our experience is very reactionary. I'm willing to say, even in my own case, some of my feelings about church, about religion, are reactionary to my personal experience. It was my personal experience that moved me to a place where I felt I needed to seek something different. So I understand that. It's not a judgment. It's a clarification, if you will. So the now anti-religion is the new religion. That is the new belief system, if you will, supported by a jury of your peers, if I may say so. So if you need support, confirmation in that, it is readily available to you, and particularly if you have access to the internet. And many of us play on that, whether we're conscious of that or not. When you put up those ridiculous posts about anti-this, anti-that, you're really playing on a most base emotional, reactionary level. And in some cases where I dare say that there's more forethought in those posts, you're looking for the quick like, the quick gathering of people who are going to come around and stand on that corner while you stand on the soapbox without any knowledge or detail of what led you to the soapbox or what brought you to that place of understanding. And we are all guilty of this, particularly in our society today where we're bombarded with information, labels and ads and commercials and proselytations and, you know, all forms of information, whether it's coming through your TV, through your internet, through your radio, through your neighbor, through your coworkers, sitting on a movie set, as I often do, and hearing people discuss the news of the day, the weather of the day, the calamity of the day, current events, their personal life, what they're going to do when they leave work, how they party, how they live. So there's an illusion of isolation, even in belief. We think that we somehow are really pure in our understanding, really pure in our information gathering, and our decision-making is not encumbered by pre-programmed ideals. And I dare say that is probably more true in the so-called conscious community, where the opinions of others is greatly, greatly exaggerated. I don't care how many posts you put up about not caring, not giving a damn. That's exactly why you do it. That's exactly why you do it. Because you're consumed with that aspect of the equation. Now we've heard the excuses, oh, well, I'm just sharing the information. No, you're not just sharing the information. You wouldn't be caught up in this debate now if you were just sharing the information. Sharing the information means you post it and you move on. Post it and you move on. Sometimes I don't even know what the comments are on some stuff, because I'm not really, that's not the agenda. Some would even say, in terms of doing an internet radio show, some of you know I stopped using my chat regularly 3 years ago. I'm not really even, right now I have a tab up with my bullet points of what I'm talking about. If you're sitting on the phone line right now, I can't even see you. And it's not that I don't value my listeners. It's not the main reason why I'm here to do this show. Because at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do. People are going to believe what they want to believe. You are here either looking for confirmation of what you already believe or something else. And you know there's a whole laundry list of something else. Some of you are looking for me to say something wrong. Some of you are looking for something to run with. Some of you are looking for something you can go and do your own show with. Give thanks. But at the end of the day, clarity and truth and authentic African spirituality. It's my base purpose, my base goal. And it has been since the very first Blog Talk Radio show. Not just to entertain you. I could easily do one of those type of shows. That's really popular right now. Some of you find my show boring because there's no arguing going on. There's not excessive profanity going on. You know, I don't have people calling in and hanging up on folks and you know, that reality show thing, which is real common in our society right now. And that's part of the problem when we try and analyze spirituality and religion, particularly as it relates to us, Africans here in America, as a people. And it is at the very foundation of why I felt it necessary to do this show. So, again, you've heard me say it before. I'm going to say it again right now on record. Anti-religion is probably one of the most non-black, non-African positions you can take. So take that, play with it, believe what you will. It implies many things that I feel about you and people who take that platform. Absolutely. Does it draw your real commitment in, for me, in about our community, about Africans in the diaspora? Absolutely. There's no other way for me, understanding the math, to look at that. So when people take that position, you're also throwing out culture. You're also throwing out tradition. You're also throwing out the belief systems of our foremothers and our forefathers and our ancestors, which is fine if that's what you want to do with clarity. I'm just taking the position and giving it a name. It is a new age philosophy. It's not African. It's not African-centered. It's not African-based. It's not African-motivated. And it's not for our survival. And the more you believe the illusion of isolation, the more you are being adequately prepared to go into battle with a system that's already in place to accept you. And that is the system of the oppressor. They need you to not have a culture. They need you to not have a belief system. They need you to not have a ethnic marker of any kind in order to be a part of the machinery. And the proof is in the behavior. Let's be clear. If there were anything more moral or more valuable in anti-religion than religion, then we'd see a manifestation in behavior. And I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing people take more risk. I'm seeing people do more self-aggrandizing things. I'm seeing people think about themselves over their children, over their wives, over the mother of the children, over their community, over their mamas, their grandmamas, their granddaddies, their great-granddaddies, and on and on and on. I'm not seeing any demonstration of superior behavior in that belief system. And it is a belief system. Your anti-religion is a belief system. And it is put in place, particularly within our community, to bastardize and erode any African sense of spirituality, but particularly the African-American indigenous sense of spirituality, which at one point and one time in this country, some would say was probably the most valuable and the only real thing that we had, was our moral compass and our position on the side of right. And through many systems, political systems, social cultural change system, through many systems that has been eroded and changed, and that is now why we are where we are today. The subjugation of African-American spiritual systems through supposedly superior pseudo-African practices as well as non-African systems like New Age Christianity, like Masonry, like I dare say Lakomi and Palo, which true Paloists will tell you is not a quote-unquote African tradition. It is seeded from some African traditions, but it is a wholly American creation. And I don't mean U.S., I mean North America, South America, American creation. And many of these Western philosophies and belief systems have now deeply saturated all of our access to spirituality and religion, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the mosque. There was a big debate about a month ago about Farrakhan teaching diagnostics. I know I'm not saying it right. L. Ron Hubbard, Scientology, that whole thing, non-African, subjugated into what was at one time considered to be a very black, if not African, path, being an FOI, being in a nation. It was a nationalist movement at one time for black people. So there's evidence all around us of our systems being subjugated by pseudo-African and just outright non-African systems in an attempt to capitalize, commercialize, make money, gain power, and often by people who want to take that outside of our community. If it's not being perpetrated by people from outside our community right off the top. And I'm going to do a whole show just about that. So prepare for that. That'll be probably Thursday. Then I'm going to spend a little bit more time talking about the subjugation and propagation of our systems under a mask to be taken and to be removed outside of our communities for the benefit of others who are not even concerned about our communities whatsoever. So I'm going to take just a brief intermission, and I will be forward momentarily with more of this show topic, the bastardization of African-American spiritual and religious systems and knowledge. I do invite you to press number one at your convenience when you are prepared with your question or comment or request at area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967, and I will be forward momentarily. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. Ibobo, divine, all blessed. I am truly honored, grateful, appreciative of each and every one of you who continue to support Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Recipes. Those of you who continue to stay on the line and listen, I can see you, and I'm truly grateful for your presence. Those who are always at my website and various other social networking locations where the show can be listened to, I most certainly do appreciate each and every one of you, and want to invite you to continue to be here with me at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time for 2 hours every working weekday, from 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time to 2 here on Blog Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Moving forward, I also want to, in keeping with the topic, talk about the bastardization of our traditions by way of initiation and initiatory processes. And before you begin to applaud and use that as some validation for self-initiating and self-legitimizing within these traditions, let's be full and clear about what I mean. Are people being taken advantage of by way of initiation? Absolutely. The question is not only are people being taken advantage of by way of initiation, but the question is also, are we attempting to take advantage by way of initiation? And both aspects need to be looked at with clarity if we're going to bring some balance back to these lineage-based systems, particularly in a time where just the word lineage is transforming. It has become something other than what it may have been 2 generations ago, 5 generations ago, 100 generations ago. Our usage and meaning of the word, our subjugation of the word, has to be examined along with our examination of the initiatory processes themselves. We are continually bombarded with negative stories about initiation. Whether it's abuses through money, abuses, sexual abuses, various types of abuses that happen when people are put in a position to either leave their country, leave their comfort zone, if you will, sometimes put in an environment where another language is being spoken, if not a whole nother culture is going on, particularly when you talk about going outside of the country to be initiated. So clearly we have a map, if you will, to look at in terms of how we can make some adjustments in that regard. But we also have to look at how we look at initiation. And I mean us as the individual, the client, the student, the godchildren. And what do we bring to the table when we decide to commit to these practices? And I know just within my own house, we've had more than one situation where someone committed to something on one day and then decided to do something else later. And quickly, you know, a month later, 2 months later, you know, they feel superior to the elders within the tradition, the elders within the path. And often it is the mixing, and if you listen back to yesterday's show, when I talk about mixing, I'm not talking about mixing Palo and Santeria. I'm talking about mixing Palo and New Age thought. I'm talking about mixing voodoo and Christianity when I use the word mixing. There's some mix there that is used as the foundation for why they justify that behavior, that decision. I call it evangelical voodoo. And of course, I'm being facetious, but I call it evangelical voodoo. It's a sense of being called to something, being born with something, being gifted with something to an extent that you don't need initiation. You don't need to honor authority. You don't need to adhere to protocols of lineage. And these are not just about power and control, but about tradition. We have to look at how we define the word tradition. What is tradition? Tradition is how something has been done, and not just done, but done successfully generationally and many generations. So when we look at traditions like Lakomi, like Santeria, like Ifa, like voodoo, where lineage is important, who you were initiated by, who your godparents were, who your elders were, where you were trained, who else was a part of that process, because we carry shared ashe, shared energy. We not only bring energy, but we share that energy, confer that energy onto implements, onto godchildren, into ceremonies. So it's a shared karmic experience. Now let's be clear, that's what real life is. It's a shared karmic experience. It is the New Age philosophy that says it's all about me. I don't have to think about you. I don't have to think about the effect my cigarette butt might have on your water. I don't have to think about the effect that spraying poison in my yard to kill off the herbs, dandelions, clovers, and what effect that might have on the fruiting, edible food in your yard, on your land. This New Age thinking doesn't require that. It didn't require you to think about what effect my work might have on the next person. But if you are a true adherent to these traditional, particularly traditional West African religious systems, you know that's exactly what it's about. It's not only what I do to and for myself, but what I do to and for every person that I come in contact with. Whether it's in this house, in this office, in my life, in my ceremony, along my journey. So the two, the new age, it's all about me. I don't have to adhere to a godmother, a godfather, an authority. I don't have to answer to anybody but myself. I can take a little bit of what you got over here and mix a little bit of what you got over there and mix a little bit of something else here, and then at the end of the day say I don't believe in religion and then do what the heck I want to do. That's the thought precedent of the Western world. That's what's happening today. And you cannot carry that into an indigenous frame and expect to get a balanced product moving forward. So it's critical that we look at what we're looking at carefully, articulately, in great detail, at every level, and with the attention of fulfilling spirit. Okay, Carl, I see your hand raised. I'm coming to you right now. Divine All Blessed, who's calling?
Hi, my name is Nay. I do want to ask a question because I do agree with you in regards to initiation. But my question is, so what do you do for those who are not able to afford the full cost of initiation? What do you do with those people that would come to you or to whomever and say, you know, I find that this is a necessary step that needs to be taken, but it's not something that's cost effective for them at that time?
That is a wonderful question, and I really would like to answer that. Now, there's several ways to look at that. Now we are talking about indigenous spiritual practice and tradition. Now, yeah. Indigenously, whether that was here, whether that was in Haiti, whether that was in Africa, much of that was done through service. Mm-hmm. You moved to the compound. You moved to the village. You cooked with the other sisters. You weaved with the other people. You did the ritual and the ceremonies with the others. So you were not only gaining an apprenticeship, but you were working for the value of your initiatory process. Now, I don't know how much of the show you heard yesterday, but we briefly talked about that yesterday.
Yes,
we have to look at value, finance. That has changed on us. And I dare say it has changed from decade to decade. How we look at money now is not how we looked at it in the 70s, in the 80s. What we have commonly available to us now was not the same 20 years ago, 50 years ago. So the initiatory processes have got to evolve with that change. So to be more clear about your question, if a person can't make their whole initiation, then they might pay it partially. Okay, the problem with that is some people pay that partial, they get access to some of the mysteries, and then 60 days later, they have their own website up as a Yanifa.
Oh,
and this is a real story now. I guess people have done this on me. And then they're under such attack, and they can't understand why. And I'm trying to tell them, number one, there are people who've gone through the process that know the difference. Number two, it's a mystery system. So people are not going to come out and say, you know, sister, you need to do this, you need to do that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, not just as a critique. Because, one, you're not going to reveal where you are in the system without revealing the mystery. So it's a catch-22. And I deal with that a lot, where people come on Facebook and want to challenge me on my wall about very specific questions. And anyone who's been through the process knows that there's certain wordage that we use. It's a language that we use. We know right off the top from the question whether you've been through the ceremony or not. So you're either trying to get me to tell you something you haven't earned. And earn is a good way to put it. Whether it's financial, whether it's through service, I have given service to elders. I have drummed with masters. I have been a part of ceremonies with elders within the tradition, along with giving money, giving time, giving service. If you understand what Ebo is not just about money, but fulfilling a spiritual obligation. So sometimes that's through offering. Sometimes it is through service. Sometimes it is through a cleansing. Sometimes it is through a bembe, something vibrational. So, yeah, there's a real issue with initiation and cost. That's another concern I have, is how we look at cost and where we cross that line between gaining access to a spiritual vocation and then making a retail exchange. The two are not the same. And the line gets blurred, because when someone that you don't know, I don't know where you are in the tradition, and I don't mean you, but I mean in general, I don't know where you are in the tradition, what you know, what you don't know, where you've initiated, where you haven't, and you come to me and say, well, how much does this cost and what does that involve? So I start explaining. First of all, I'm explaining ritual processes. You probably don't even understand the language. You might not speak Yoruba. You might not speak Creole. You might not have heard some of these names before. So now I have to go into detail about what that is. And some of that, if not most of that, you're supposed to gain in the actual initiation process. So trying to figure out what people really want and then providing that can be difficult for a spiritual hearing. Are you still with me, sister?
Yes, I am.
Because I know I tend to run on. So pull me back if I get off topic.
You're all right.
Yeah,
no, but that was I had to ask that question because that's been something that I've wondered, you know, in having conversation with other people and regarding myself as well. You know, just how does, you know, and based on, you know, where different people are in the country and what is accessible to them based on, you know, where they live and things of that nature. So, yeah, I'm glad you addressed it, and thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate your calling in with that question. That's a common question, but a very good one, and I don't think we can talk about that enough, particularly right now. Me and Iwo Ifa Fakan, who has occasionally done Ifa shows with me here on Blog Talk Radio, we talk about that a lot. And in our discussion, we often use systems that are familiar to us to sort of cipher the thought process through. So we look at the church, we look at the mosque, we look at other initiatory systems as they are here in the West, whether it's sorority, fraternity, whatever that is. And then we try and make sense of what people are bringing to the table in terms of thought process, and then try and address that as early on and with as much clarity as possible, so that you don't run into issues, you know, further down the road. Many people don't know what to even expect in an initiation. And there's a way to gain access to that information, not just through books or through the Internet, but actually going through to the communities, going to the priestess of the various paths, and getting access to that information. Now, some of them, for some of the reasons we just laid out, are not going to be ready to tell you that. But they might allow you into their event. They might invite you to the tambour. They might invite you to the bembe. And you will see other people there and have the opportunity to not only ask your questions, but see your questions, be a part of the experience of your questions. Because, again, it's a mystery system. So a great deal of this is not in paper. I don't care how many books you read.
It definitely is not.
Yeah, the process is not in a book. And that's hard to explain to people who don't want to, you know, venture out and go and be a part of the experience and at least see for themselves how it's done.
Okay, very good. Thank you for answering my question.
Sure, I appreciate your call. And please continue to listen. Always a blessing.
Of course. Thank you, you too.
Yeah, that is a great question. One I get asked questions about a lot in various ways, you know, through email, through an instant message, on Facebook. At least 5 times a day someone asks something initiation related. Another misconception is that you can get all of your work, all of your initiation done with one person. That's not even possible. there are too many responsibilities that go into making a head or having an initiation done. And if it's being done correctly and authentically, various people are involved based on their specialty, their expertise. You know, I might have a person who deals just with herbs, with Iwe. I might have a person who deals just with women and women issues, or female deities and energy. So if you're talking about one person, two persons trying to provide you all of those services, you're not getting authentic initiation. And once you understand that, then that financing begins to make a little bit more sense to you. It's not going just to one person, not to just to me. You have various people that should be involved in the process, There are aspects of your initiation that can be done singularly, but you're not going to get everything. And often, again, from that retail framework, people are looking for the shortcut. They're looking for the quickest, the most inexpensive, and for the most power or title that they can carry moving forward after that. And that's just not a healthy way to approach initiation. It's not a healthy way to approach ministry of any type, and it's not a healthy way to approach self-empowerment, self-edification, fulfillment. You want the real thing. You want to do the real work. You want to see the real people. You want to be put through the real processes. That's one of the first things that we look for in trying to determine whether we should take a person on as a client or not. I just gave you a mystery, whether you realize or not. That's another reason why it's so difficult to get into initiation. Because a lot of people are going to quit very early on because they're not prepared to initiate. They're not ready for that level of work or that level of commitment. They might desire it. I have a coat on layaway right now that I saw and I deeply desired. $3,000 coat. It's on layaway. I have to earn it. I have to pay on it, work, pay on it. It's that way with anything that we value in this society. And let's be clear, most of the things that we value in society, appreciate the minute you take it off the lot. You buy your $40,000 Escalade, it's $30,000 as soon as you pull it off the lot. Our houses used to grow in value. I think our housing market is beginning to improve some. That's an investment that we often make and look at with a lifelong, sometimes beyond your life, your children's life, your grandchildren's life, as a part of that perspective. That should be the way that we look at spirituality and religion from an indigenous perspective. It's not just about what I gain for me. What do I gain for my community, for my family, and for my children, and for my lineage, and what is going to be passed on while I'm living as well as after my transition. So that was a very good question, beloved. I really appreciate that. And I'm going to take just a momentary intermission, and I will be forward with more of Hoodoo Secrets and Recipes, Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, here on Blog Talk Radio, the bastardization of African-American spiritual wisdom, knowledge, ritual, tradition, practices, here on Blog Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Mwenge pule ta chante lanze a yo tate, de bobwe sa, o ki mize sa, mbwale.
Tate, de bobwe sa, o ki mize sa.
Thank you.
Hey, Bobo, divine all blessings. And let me add to my beloved anti-religion sisters and brothers. There would be no truth. There would be no truth without belief. No truth without belief. It's critical to belief is realization that that which we accept as truth is also that which we accept as belief. You can't have one without the other, unless you're pretending, and that's a whole nother show topic. But I appreciate each and every one of you who support Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Our live listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and we will be more than happy to assist you moving forward. All is a blessing. So, you know, in clarity, I think that another key component to this mindset is how we confront, look at, address education in the Western world in general. Many of you decided your college major or decided on what you wanted to do with your life based on income. You ask a lot of children today, you know, what do you want to be? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a rapper. I want to be an athlete. Then you ask why. The general reason is for the money. We don't look at vocation from a perspective of skill, talent. What is most natural to your child, to you as an individual? I often ask my clients, particularly my clients who are seeking my advice in terms of business, self-employment, entrepreneurship, what do you do? What do you do well? What do you do that your friends and your family compliment you on? And I would say a very close to 70% cannot answer that question. Even by the fourth or fifth appointment, cannot answer that question. Cannot see themselves in that way. Cannot step outside of themselves to view what's good about themselves, what's natural about themselves in that way. And there are certain spiritual paths that are natural to that way of thinking. Rastafari is one of those paths. I am amazed at the entrepreneurship that comes through Rasta Brothers, their ability to think about earning money, earning a living, you know, creating self-business. It's a 24-hour thing for them. They can pick up anything. They can go anywhere and within a matter of minutes think about how they can bring new enterprise to that. That is something that is akin to traditional African-based paths and religions, where we make all our own pots, make all our own implements, grow and harvest our own herbs, sew and create our own textile and clothing and garb, crochet, weave, knit, all of those things that require natural intelligence. So we must begin to strip away the capitalistic garments that we wear that affect how we view everything in our lives through a cipher of financial cost. How much does it cost in U.S. dollars? We often negate other value and other losses by just looking at the dollar amount. People who shop at the 99-cent store do that sometimes. I don't think you consider that, okay, are you getting a good product for 99 cents, or are you getting just a product for 99 cents? And some of these stores know that difference. Most qualified vendors know that difference. I certainly knew that difference. Many people are going to buy something because you say it's 99 cents. They're not even considering quality, usage. What am I going to do with this? What is its real value? So we must begin to bring that same level of intellectual competence, if you will, and I'm affording some of you some extra, but we must bring that same level of intellectual competence to how we view spirituality, religion, self-empowerment, wholeness, wellness, how we view ourselves as people, as individuals. A great deal of our political arguments of the day are about self-empowerment. What can we do, and what do we actually do for ourselves? Now, right now in the U.S., I can't think of any black community that provides their own water, provides their own food, provides their own clothing, and so on, except maybe the Gullah Geechee. But I can't think of right now anywhere else to any degree where that's really being done, where we're not seeking other communities, other people, other enterprises for our survival, for our resources. So we must begin to not only reexamine religion, because that's the mantra of the day, religion, religion, religion. No religion, no religion, no religion. That's the mantra of the day, as if that's the only thing that matters, as if that's the only thing that affects all these various symptoms that you are now just lumping onto the religion bandwagon. What about politics? What about economics? What about housing? What about the very basics for survival, which affect how you view and interpret religion? So some people would say that I still believe in religion because it's working for me. I am blessed beyond measure. I have what I need. I'm not in want. I'm not in owens to anyone. And I know that if I had to move today, if Hurricane Katrina happened again today, all my gifts are coming with me. Not because they're in my pocket as money, but because they're in my hands. They're in my mind. They're in my consciousness. I can bead. I can sew plumes. I can crochet. I can garden. I can write. I can sing. I can produce. I can do prayer in Yoruba and Fon and Twi anywhere, not just here. So we have to re-examine what we value, how we value, and what we place value on. Some of the things that we should be valuing most, friend, family, community, many of you don't value that at all. That's either the bottom of your list or not even on your list at all in terms of consideration. And we know this by your demonstration. On average, 9 black men out of 10 are not going to speak when they see me on the street, are not going to have anything to say, whether it's on the street, whether it's in a working environment, whether it's on a movie set, whether it's walking through the Walmart, whether it's you being at the cash register and me being the customer. I shouldn't have to ask you to greet me. I shouldn't have to ask you to acknowledge my humanity. That is the product and the byproduct of your non-religion. That is the product and the byproduct of your wholesale acceptance of New Age, New World, Babylon philosophy. Because at the end of the day, I don't care what you mask it in, that's what it is. That's what it is. I'll be forward with more. Give me a break. All is a blessing.
Bagat mwen tombe lan glo, li pa mouye.
Iwa mwele o, iwa mwele o.
I'm with you.
Aibaba, divine, all blessed. I'm truly honored, grateful for each and every one of you who are still here with us for this powerful hour of Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets Recipes, the bastardization of African American spiritual tradition. So at some point today, we really got into a topic of discussion about initiation. And indeed, we want to talk about that even more today and moving into future shows in the coming days. About initiation, the complications involved in initiation, what to expect in initiation, and what the real requirements are to be legitimized, for lack of better words right now. I'll come up with a better word. But legitimized within a traditional African path. And for the most simplest of answers, let's be clear. There is no evangelical spiritual practice in traditional African indigenous culture. You are a part of a community. People are born with the gift, have the gift, develop gifts. God and spirit and goddess gift who they will. That goes without saying. But there is a process of being taught, being instructed, just the conferring and sharing Ashe energy that is natural and indigenous to our traditions. It is not like being a Christian and waking up one morning and Jesus touched me, and now I'm going to go and stand on the corner, and I'm going to preach to the nations. And even within the Christian world, in some communities, that's still fully accepted. We know it to be evangelical. We know it to be accepted in the Pentecostal and apostolic communities to some degree. But they still have to know who you are. Where did you come from? Who did you thunder? What church were you going to before you had this relation? And it is so different in our tradition, but we seem to find a way to lessen its importance when it comes to our stuff. I can't go to any church in this city of New Orleans and ask, let alone demand, access to a pulpit speak. What seminary you been through? Who are you? What's your title? Where are you from? For most evangelical churches, that's not going to happen. Now, they might let you testify, but you ain't about to run anything and put yourself in a position of leadership without doing work. So a bastardization of our system is reflected in our respect of our systems and the respect that we demand and give from ourselves as well as those from outside. There are many questions about buying initiation now. There are some communities, some cultures even. You can, you know, you got $10,000, $20,000, you buy into that system. Now, when you start talking about knowledge, wisdom, power, demonstration, Somehow that's not a priority to us anymore. Somehow that's further list of importance to us as a part of demonstration, not only for others but for ourselves. I tire of hearing stories about initiation gone wrong, and it's always the house's fault. It's always Avalal's fault. It's always the priest and the priestess' fault. I've never had anyone come to me and say, I messed up my initiation. I let my ego get the best of me. My money wasn't right. I committed to something that I had no knowledge of. None of those things that were a part of my process of evolution, being ignorant, being humble and honest enough to say I was ignorant, and then seeking right information. But we have a culture. It's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's a Western thing that we are ourselves, and you get it by any means necessary. And many of you bring that to the traditions or attempt to. And some paths have to really embrace that. And, excuse me, and I'm not going to make it personal, so I'm not going to start calling out any paths, any houses, any traditions in very broad generalities. But those within the community, I don't have to go into detail. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Some traditions, paths, have a reputation for dealing with people with unsavory character for protection and defense against police and other things. And that's not new to the New World. That was done to some degree in Africa. Even today, you still have certain cults that do magic to protect from machetes, protect from bullets, to protect you in war, in battle, in guerrilla warfare. There is a purpose for all things, light and dark. But you got to first get in and know what you're talking about and what you're doing before you try and manipulate it in some other way, and particularly some unintended way. And then when that doesn't work, we brand religion as the evil, or we brand the house or the practice as the evil. And it's done with all religions. It's done with all spiritual practices. It's not specific to voodoo. It's not specific to Ifa. I think it's a human thing that has somehow rose to embrace pop cultural embrace within world culture now. So you see it everywhere. And seeing something everywhere doesn't make it the norm per se, or accepted thing per se, or the right interpretation of something. But I am going to continue. I'm quickly running out of time. I have a lot I want to say right now. Most of it, if I get into it now, I'm not going to be able to complete it by the end of my show. So I'm going to invite you all to continue to be a part of this listening and continue to call with your questions, your comments, your requests, your experience. We greatly appreciate that. We greatly welcome that as an important contributing a factor to the show. And I invite you to be with me here tomorrow at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, The Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secret Recipes with the Divine Prince. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
We are here. We are here but hurt. We are here and hurt. We are sick, some of us, even dying daily. We are here, sick, some of us even dying daily, diabetes, pressure, stress and depression, tearing us asunder into broken pieces of humanity. Exploited by urban toil, just exploited by urban toil and trouble, and too often also taking advantage of each other's weakness. We are barely surviving, even as some of us pretend to be living. But the truth is what it is. The truth is better must come. Change must be made if we are to rise, laugh, and truly live again. We can be our own salvation. We must take care of each other, reach out in touch, powered by heart beating the rhythm of love, embrace, making music that brings us together. Our music keeps us together. Our music keeps us together. Our music making the way we shape sound, the vibrations of putting things in motion, instruments and dance, hand claps and chants. Our music that we make for love's sake is the higher, 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 in the higher, in the higher, in the higher realms. Our sound, our singing, our dance is the best medicine ever to cure what ails us. Here, what ails us, here in America, what ails us is being here. What ails us is being here, up under the capitalist gun, going to work every day for chump change. Others making big banks off our poverty. We need the music. We need the music to survive this. We need the music. May there be music. We need the music. Music, the sound of us in love. Music, the sound of us in life. Music, our sound of love. Music, our sound of life. Listen to your heartbeat. Listen to how we sound, loving each other, caring for each other, helping each other. Listen and live, sing and dance. Make music, make music. We have always, 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 always made music, and the vibrations will be the basis of our healing. The vibrations, the heart sound, the drum, the human drum. The heart is our drum, the foundation of all the music we make, all the music we need, all the music we are, we be, and the music beat, the music beating, the music beat, the music beating, the music beat, the music, the music, the music, the music, the music.
Yawomi, yawomi, yawomi. man, they give you the reason. Your love, they give me the season. This time, na so so wahala. Baby girl, they give me the fever. Baby girl, can I have your number so that we can to the club together? Make her feel you. Yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You see, yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. It do me, do me, do me, do me. Eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. It do me, do me, do me, do me. Eh, eh. Like say I don't. I'm a show up by day, that your dad look cool. I'm a low boy, I'm a low nine. I'm a nile, I am in 61, I'm a friend my giri. I go spend my money, my energy. Lele, 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 I'm all them up by me tele. See, ya wo me, ya wo me, ya wo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. See, ya wo me, ya wo me. Yawo mi, every time I see you, I dey fall in love. It do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. It do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. Faka piki faka, hey. Faka piki faka, hey. Faka piki faka. Mama na one by one we dey go. Mama na me and you na today. Mama jaja yo la baka de jaje. Mama mo de ma de ba odele. Eli man don't come again now. Eli man don't come again now. Hey, now we see na de fine baba don't do it for me. Yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi. Every time I see you, I dey fall in love. You see yawo mi, yawo mi, yawo mi. Every time I see you, I dey fall in love. It do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. It do me.